You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bend head and heart in your presence. So deal with us according to your good pleasure. God will thank you for thy word, for thy working, that you would deal with us in the light of the glory of heaven and honor yourself. In Christ's name, amen. As we're looking at the Gospel of John, we are reminded John is the last living apostle. And he writes, summing up and bringing all the pieces together in the light of the Old Testament, in the light of the New Testament, all the epistles, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He's bringing them all together. And he is going to give us a very special window to look through to understand our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, because of all that. So now in the Gospel of John, and you would be mindful of the fact that John is very specific, very personal. And so in John chapter 1, he gives us, after the baptism of our Lord Jesus, his temptation in the wilderness. He then gives us a day-by-day account of the first week of his ministry. After his temptation, what happened the first week? And he's going to give it. And as we share together in John chapter 1, verse 19 to 28, he gave us the first day. The first day. And John, remember John the Baptist was queried about by the Sadducees and the Pharisees about who he was and his ministry. And the second day came along, 129, verse 29 to verse 34. And John the Baptist points out the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the baptism of our Lord Jesus took place. And the third day, verse chapter 1, verse 35, the third day, we find that John is pointing out as he's with his disciples, he points out the Lamb of God. Here's our Lord Jesus walking. And John the Baptist says to his disciples, the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God, in verse 36. And so this is on the third day. And so here they are. Two of his disciples are with John at the time when he points him out. And then the two disciples, because the Lord Lord Jesus has been pointed out, those two disciples, Andrew they are, and John, the Apostle John himself, they immediately follow our Lord. And thus they no more become John's disciples, John the Baptist. They become disciples of our Lord Jesus. They're going to follow him now. And you remember, as we did that, in John chapter 1, and if I may read in verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? That's the first question that the Lord asked anybody that's on record. What are you after? Why are you after me? What seek you? And since they weren't sure how to put that together, they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, master or teacher is the word, where dwellest thou? So there they had a question, where he abided, where does our Lord Jesus Christ abide? They were going to go where he was going to go, that they could have a better understanding of who he was and why John pointed out him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He then, in the light of their question, where dwellest thou, verse 38, he saith unto them, come and see. It's a command. Present tense, come, come, come. Come and see. Come and be an observer. Use your eyes. Pay attention. Come and see. And they came. They came. They took his invitation up seriously. And they came and saw where he dwelt or was abiding, which is the same word as you have in verse 38, dwelleth thou. They came to see where he dwelt or where he abode. And the abode, the same verb, and they abode with him, they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And we said that had to be 4 o'clock, could have been 10 o'clock in the morning, but 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two which heard John speak followed him, one of those two was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So here is the following, and they're going to go where he abides. And we shared together last time that the location of where the Lord Jesus was is not made known. We don't know where he goes, but this we do know, because John is moving us into a unique understanding of what God has provided in Christ for the believing heart. Who is God in the light of Genesis 1:1, in the light of John 1:1, and the Word became, John 14, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You're going to help us with him. So now, John, that you don't tell us where you went, and John was one of them. You know, he didn't. He then went, though, and took that same verb, to dwell, to abide. And in John 15, he has a whole wonderful thing. When we follow Jesus, we discovered a wonderful abiding where he abode. He abode in the wonderful person of God. He enjoyed God's personal presence. And so he'll do it again in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. He'll do it up through chapter 4. He'll do it again. The wonderful thing, it isn't about where geographically. It's about a wonderful relationship that God is going to provide when you come and see. Now, we're still on the third day, and picking up, if I can, in verse 41. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ. Messiah, Hebrew, and the Christ, Greek, and they both mean the anointed one. The one set apart to be priest, set apart to be king. So now, having read that and said that, he Andrew goes and finds his brother Peter, Simon Peter. And he found him, and he told him, what did you understand, Andrew? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, John the Baptist pointed him out, and we've followed him where he abides, where he's going to abide. And Simon Peter, I want you, you're my brother, I want you to come. I want you to come and see with us, understand with us. Now remember now, the Messiah, when you're looking at that, what did they understand about the Messiah? Not a lot. They had a wonderful sense that he would be the right man, the God-man, and the God-man would what? The God-man would be a man out of the tribe of Judah, etc., house of Jesse, etc. And he would be a man, a very special man, Messiah. They had no grip that he was the Word become flesh and God. They don't know that yet. They just know he's very, very special. And obviously, if we were standing next to him or near him, we would have noted his specialness. You could not be, I think it's impossible without exaggerating in any way, you could not have been near him without knowing something marvelous about him. You couldn't have done it. Now, so here's Andrew. Andrew goes and finds Simon, his brother, the anointed one. And in doing so, by the way, Andrew is the first disciple brought to him, that was brought, Andrew and John. And picking up in verse 41 again, in verse 41, Andrew, who is Andrew? Well, Andrew, remember, he's not the first on the list when you list the apostles. He's not first. And he did something wonderful. He brought Peter. Peter's going to become first, but not Andrew. And Andrew was the one that said, we have a little boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Andrew brought the Greeks to know him. Andrew was bringing people to him, saying, come and meet him, this exciting, awesome person. And so here's Andrew, and Andrew goes and gets our Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, Simon Peter, I should say, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 42, and he brought him, Simon Peter, to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon. Now, the Lord is looking, the word beheld, to look intently, deeply. He's looking right past the physical appearance of Simon, straight into his heart, just like he did with David. When David, God said, God in 1 Samuel 17, God looketh on the heart. 16, God looketh on the heart. He looked right smack into Simon's life. And he thus said, Simon, you are Simon Peter. But I want you to know what you are and what you can become. The possibilities are marvelous of what you can become. So now, in verse 42, thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And John gives the Greeks who are reading the Hebrew understanding of different words as you're reading. He brings the word. That means a stone. Cephas, Hebrew, going to be a stone, as it were. Now, picking up, and you're going to be called a stone. And Peter, are you very stable? No, you're strong, quick. Are you a stable salt? No, Peter isn't. Peter's impetuous and does what he does. And Peter, you are going to be Cephas, a rock. And thus, and that's what he's going to be. And as you read through the rest of the New Testament, you'll find Cephas does this and Cephas Peter, the rock. In particular, just for the sake of the moment, over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and picking up, if I can, and in chapter 16, you know the discussion our Lord had with the disciples, and picking up in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I? Who do you personally say that I am? And of course they have nothing to say, but God helps Peter. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And where did you get that, Peter? Well, our Lord explains it. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's how you know who I am. I am the Christ, the Son the Son of the living God. Now you're saying it. Do you understand it, Peter? No. But you're saying it. What you're saying is right. God identifies who I am so that you disciples can understand. Now you'll have to learn who I am. The Messiah is no less a person than God himself. Now, in the light of that, verse 18, and I say unto thee, Peter, that thou art Peter. Peter, there's your word. Peter is the Greek word for stone, Cephas, stone, rock. Peter, Greek, stone, rock. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, my assembly, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the word rock is a word, it's the same root. And the rock has root, it is, and it has to do with a large rock. A large rock. The first Peter is a stone, and the Olympians would throw those stones and hurl them in the games. They used the stones that are Etna, when the volcano erupted, the stones came up, and they called them the stones that were thrown up in the air. Wow. But this word is not a stone that you could throw or anything like it. This word is a rock. I'll give it to you where you know it. Over in Matthew, over if you would, Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 24. Remember, rock. John, Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that which built his house upon a rock. There's your word. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and bare and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, a foundation. The Lord Jesus Christ is a spiritual rock. In 1 Corinthians 10, a spiritual rock. The rock, Peter, you're a stone. You remember in Ephesians 2 and 20 thereabouts, that the apostles and prophets are put upon the foundation. They're the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone, and the apostles and prophets sit right across the top of him. They're the starting point. They're the ones you start with. Peter, you're a rock on top of the rock. And the rock is a foundation which no other man can lay than that which is our Lord Jesus Christ. A rock, a foundation, big, big, solid. And back over, if you would, to Matthew 60. And in Matthew chapter 60, that rock upon which he would build is the testimony that is given of who he is to build upon his wonderful person. And that is given in verse 16 and 17. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's, I'm going to build my assembly, my church, upon that foundation of who I am. Who I am. The church, he's the foundation, we're the building. He's the head, the believers are the body. A wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, you're the one. You're the one that's going to be in the day of Pentecost, and you're going to be the speaker. Peter, you are. Now, over if you would please, back over to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, picking up, if I can, in verse 43. You now begin the fourth day. 1, 2, 3, 4. The first week. What happened on the fourth day, John? Verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now, the Lord Jesus is, if you're thinking of a map, and if I could just think of being down here, you know where Jericho, Do you know what Jericho is? Jericho, right next to the Jordan and Jericho. Here's Jericho over the side, and right across the Jordan River over there is where he is. John the Baptist was baptizing. This is where it all took place. And he went northward. And he went up to the Sea of Galilee, And he went up there, maybe 60 miles or so. And he went up to that direction, to the Sea of Galilee. And on his way there, to the Sea of Galilee, there was another man there. And the Lord Jesus, this time, this is the first person that he directly invites to be an apostle, a disciple. Philip is the first one that he ever said, follow me. Philip is. So now, what have we got? The fourth day. And picking up if I can. And so here is the fourth day, they're going. And Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now, in the process of all of that, outworking of itself and letting it happen, here's Philip. Philip, if you would, is there. And he's up in the Galilee in Bethsaida, verse 44. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So they're all from the same city. Bethsaida is up in the Sea of Galilee. Just think of the Sea of Galilee. And up there in the northeast, right on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, is Bethsaida up there. And all three of them, Peter, Andrew, and Philip, are all from that same place up there. They were raised there. That's their home. And in verse 43, the day following, he went, and there was Philip. He finds Philip, and he saith unto him, follow me, Philip, follow me. It's a command, follow me. And he found Philip. And as they said, he's the first one directly called. Now here's Philip, and Philip is there. And Philip just follows him. But before he follows him, he goes after another person that he knows named Nathanael. And in the process, you know Philip. You don't hear a lot about him. He's the fifth one. If you were going to line all the apostles up, he'd be number five on the listing in Matthew 10 and that. Not that you would matter, but if you want to know where they all stood. And thus, Philip, what do you do? Well, Philip was the one, remember? Philip was the one that said, where shall we buy bread? The Lord Jesus, Philip is the one that Jesus said to, what do you want to know the Father for? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Philip. You've seen the Father. If you've seen me, Philip. So Philip, you're a wonderful person. You don't hear a lot about him. You don't hear a lot about Andrew. You don't hear a lot about them. But they're there. They're there. Wonderfully there. God did something. He invited them to come to see where he abode. To come and enjoy God. To enjoy the heart of God. To become into the heart of God. That's what he invited them to. And so, in the light of that, and by the way, picking up in verse 45, Philip is following our Lord, but he stops and gets Nathanael, verse 45. Nathanael, and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. We found him, and remember, Deuteronomy 18, there'll be one, a prophet like Moses is coming. And we know, we were waiting. We knew the Messiah would come and be like and come out of the law, out of the law of Moses. He told us he was coming. The prophets told us he was coming. Isaiah, etc. So now, in the light of that, the scriptures all speak of him. So now, verse 45. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We have found him, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, you didn't say the son of Mary. No, you said the son of Joseph. Why'd you say the son of Joseph? Because we aren't that far along yet. We aren't that far along. We know he's special. We don't know because we weren't there when he was raised for 30 years. Well, we don't know. But here he is, and John introduces him to us. So now, over if you would, just for a moment, over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and picking up, please, in verse 41. 6 and 41. And you will note, please, verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him. Why? Because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? How, you, son of Joseph, that's right, you're just like us, born up there in Bethlehem of Judea, living in Nazareth. We know you're Joseph. Aha. One other place, back over, keeping your finger in John 1, over to Luke chapter 3. Luke and chapter 3. And would you please note, in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus, picking up, please, in verse 23. 3 and 23 of Luke. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Joseph, he's supposed. We all thought he was Joseph, but he wasn't Joseph. He was born of the Virgin Mary, but we all thought that because we figured no one could be born without a father, a human father. You have to have a human father, but he didn't. They didn't understand that yet. So now, Nathaniel, how do you go and describe him? Well, he is, verse 45, Philip said, Jesus of Nazareth, and Nathaniel's going to know that, and he's the son of Joseph. Now, when you say Jesus of Nazareth, what do you know? Well, here, if you would, here's the Sea of Galilee over this way, and over here is the Canaan, C-A-A-N, Canaan's up here, and about 8 miles down here is Nazareth. So they're pretty close together. Canaan, Nazareth, like that, the Sea of Galilee. And Nathaniel is from Nazareth. I mean, Canaan, I should say. He's from Canaan. That's where he lives, up in Canaan. And so they had to be near there in the vicinity for Philip to find Nathaniel. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, verse 46, Nathanael said unto him after the statement, Thou art Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, so far there's nothing extraordinary except we found him of the law and of the prophets, we found him. Verse 46. And Nathan said unto him, can there be any good thing? Come out of Nazareth? Now, what do you know about Nazareth? Now, Nazareth is south of Cana, and it's south of there. And it's Galilee up there is a very, all kinds of dialects, all kinds of, the Gentiles are very influential up in there around the Sea of Galilee. And it isn't dignified, you're sort of out of it, you really aren't up in class. When you're up there, you know. You aren't up in class. You're sort of nothing. Jesus of Nazareth. Nothing can come out of Nazareth. There's no good up there. No one. And by the way, Nathanael would say, I know. If you read the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, it doesn't even mention Nazareth. It mentions Bethlehem, other places, but nothing about Nazareth. And Nathanael said, hey, what are you kidding me? How can he come out of Nazareth? Well, there's nothing that says he comes out of Nazareth. In fact, Nazareth isn't even mentioned. Why not? It wasn't even going. And it's up in a little hill and a little valley up in the mound where Nazareth was. So now, having said that, and so Nathanael rejects the possibility that the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who Moses predicted, could come out of Nazareth. He rejects that. And so, Philip, what are you going to do? Well, Philip sat down and said, let's have a discussion. But he didn't say that. Let's talk and argue about your case, your point. He didn't say that. What are we going to do to help people? Philip, what are you going to do? There's people with all kinds of funny questions, thoughts, and opinions in their head about what they think is and isn't. What are you going to do? Come and see. The Lord said, come and see. And now Philip says, come and see. Same two words. Come and see. See for yourself. See for yourself. Answer it for yourself. I'm not going to talk about that question. I'm not going to argue with you and debate and spend 4 hours in writing and everything. Come and see for yourself. Come and see who I is, who he is. Come and see. Find out for yourself. And isn't that what we need to do? We get pride, but I don't know, I don't believe that, I'm not sure of this. Come and see. Come and see. Come and find out. I did it the other day, and I'll remind you of myself again. As you read your Bible and pray, talk to God, and read, and think about God, when you do that, and here's the Bible, and you can read devotional book, and there's all kinds of things that could be helpful, but always make sure you have a statement from God's Word. Now, what are we doing? Are we going to understand everything we read? Oh, no. And even when we understand it, we have just started to understand it. And it will take the rest of our life to get a hold of that. So what are we doing? We read the Bible. What did you give us the Bible for? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, God, here's your word. And when I read the Bible and read a verse or hold the Bible in my hand, what do I know? I know I'm reminded of what? I'm reminded of the one whose book it is. It's God's book. God's wonderful person. God gave me his word, gave us his word. And having his word, dear friend, I have his word. Whose word? God's word. God, where are you? Right here. So when I read the Bible, pray, family altar, whatever you do, one thing you always practice till it becomes automatic. Keep practicing and practicing what? God, your Bible, your word reminds me, is to remind me of your presence. And your person. And that's the whole ball game. Your presence. Isn't that make the difference? You can read the word and walk out and say, I read the word, I read this truth, and you can even quote it. But tell me what that will do for you personally. You want the person who said it. And that's why you read, so that you are reminded, not God out there on Mars somewhere, which he is, but here, now. And we read the Bible. God reminds us in his word of his presence, his personal presence, and his power. Wow. That's what I want to know. I just want to know. I don't understand, but God, you do. And in your presence, everything else becomes minuscule. All the problems, all the pressures, all the conditions, all the circumstances shrink. They shrink. God, wow. Because of you, they aren't so big anymore. They're reduced. And if you do that, your family altar, your personal life will be so much more benefited. If you just do the other, I know you can read, I read five verses. Someone can read a whole book. I mean, If you had time, you could read a whole book of the Bible. You can do it, and that's a wonderful thing. But if you aren't left with God, you're in trouble, because it isn't going to go very far. It has to be God. I don't even know what it said. But God, I'm reminded that you said it, and here you are. I'm smack dab in the middle of your presence. And so is everything else. So is everyone else in the middle of your presence. Work, home, school, play, in the middle of your presence, God. That's my starting point. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, over if you would please. So, come and see, the end of verse 46. Philip saith unto him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael, coming to him, and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Guile. To bait and catch fish, birds. To bait and trap. That's the word. Guile. To bait and trap. Fish, birds, whatever. There's no guile in him. No guile. No cunning. He's open book. Humble, open book. He isn't a trickster. Now, hang on to that. He isn't a trickster. There's no guile. And here's Nathanael going to respond. Verse 48. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? How could you possibly know me? How could you know? And Nathanael knew. He was talking about him. He said, you're describing me. That's right. Inside. God said, you haven't even started. I know so much about you, you have no idea. I gave you a little bit about who you are, what you're like. And you'll have to spend eternity to know that I know all about you, and in every aspect, from your birth to your death. Thus, verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And way back, there you were, before Philip went to get you. Where did Philip find you? You were sitting under a fig tree with its leafy, branchy tree. And you were sitting there, meditating. And you were meditating, reading, whatever you were doing. And in the process, I saw you when you were under the fig tree when Philip came. And Nathanael said, wow. He was impressed. Now, thus, Nathanael answered, verse 49, and said and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. The article, the, in each case, thou art the King, thou art the Son of God. And he took it a step further than any of them and said, you have to be the King of Israel. You have to be the Son of God. Now, our Lord, you're going to take it further. He is that I am. You think, now, let me show you how I impressed, God said, recorded for us, how I impressed Nathanael. Nathanael was reading or thinking, you never would have seen it, Lord. What was he thinking about? Genesis 28 and verse 12. Over there, if you would. Before I do that, just let me read so you see it. Verse 50, chapter 1 of John. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Are you really believing that? He is. He's presently believing it. That's right. I also saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? And thou shalt see greater things than these. And Lord, and he saith unto him, verse 51, verily, verily, characteristic of the Gospel of John, 25 times. Verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You're going to see that. Wow, that's going to happen. That's a wonderful thing. You're going to see that. Where is that? Well, that's over, back over, if you would, to the Gospel, the Gospel of Genesis, chapter 28. Genesis 28. And Genesis 28, picking up, please, in verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, the ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angel of God ascending and descending. Now here's Jacob, remember. Jacob's there, and God is going to introduce himself to Jacob. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, so to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Verse 14, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north and south. You're going to spread out in property. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob, you're a trickster. Nathanael has no guile. Nathanael isn't a trickster. The one you're reading about, Nathanael, thinking about, Jacob, was a trickster. Cunning, sharp. But you're just guile. You're guileless. No traps, no tricks. Verse 16, Jacob, what did you do? Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. God was here. Verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? The word dreadful, to be fear, awe-inspiring. He was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, Bethel, the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. God, here we are, here's Jacob in the land, Israel. And there you are, God, and you, heaven and earth are coming together. Heaven is communicating with earth. Earth is communicating with heaven. And this is a dreadful place because God, you're here. And by the way, God, this is God's, it's the house of God here. The place of God, the home of God. Wow. Now, with that in mind, back over if you would please. In your Bible, to the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, John 14, now, hang on to John 14. I'm going to just remind you in John 1 and 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God. Jacob, what'd you find? The ladder, the communicating, heaven and earth coming together. God, what if the Lord Jesus said, Jacob, Nathanael, just you read it and you're going to see what you're thinking about with Jacob is going to happen. Heaven and earth are going to come together in my wonderful person, and God is going to be among us personally. And where I am, you are to know that God is there. John 14, and in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 21, now, having said that, the Lord Jesus Christ being the way, verse 21, and he that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So, Nathanael, Philip, Andrew, Peter, are you guys going to have a unique relationship? Absolutely. We're going to know, remember back chapter 14 and verse 7, And if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip, verse 8, saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Show us the Father. And he said, I am the Father. Heaven and earth. Heaven, Father. Father, God. God, here you are right in front of us. That's right. That's right. You're going to see, and the word is in the plural, you will see angels ascending and descending. You're going to see God. God communicating with you straightway on earth. Thus, verse 22, Judas saith unto him, chapter 14, Not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he shall keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, we, Father and Son, and make our abode with him. We're going to abide, a wonderful abiding. Come see where I abide. Come see where I am. And when you come there, you're going to find God. You're going to find God there. That's right. You're going to find God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. Over, if you would, in closing to John 20. John 20. John chapter 20, please. If I may, verse 25. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas saith unto them, Then came Jesus to the doors, being shut, and in the midst, went right through the doors, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. And then saith he to Thomas, verse 27, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Nathanael, do you really believe, just because I told you what you were like, you believe that? I'm amazed that you would believe me like that. Wow. And so, verse 29, And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and hath believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are they that haven't seen. You're going to see, Nathanael, and so are they. Heaven, you're going to see what Jacob experienced for real. Only you're going to find it in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 31. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. A wonderful relationship to God. Wow. Now remember, someone a long time ago went, and to Michelangelo, the sculptor, and going to Michelangelo the sculptor, Michelangelo was working on this big, massive rock with his chisel. And the person said, asked him what he was doing. And so Michelangelo turned and said, I am seeking to set an imprisoned angel free. That's what I'm doing. I'm chiseling the rock to set the angel free. Ah, God, what are you doing? Here you come. Peter, you are like you want. But is there any possibility that can be more than this? Better than this? Thou shalt be called Cephas. Peter, a stone. What are we called? A new name. A new relationship. We're new creatures, are we? In Christ Jesus, God did something, made something wonderfully possible for us. That was his first day. Wow. Our Father in God, set apart the time, and God help us, please. We need your help and guidance in tackling item after item, that we would stumble through it and see it better and better. God, thank you. Deal with the heart of those, each one, that they would want to know the truth and the truth would set them free. God, thank you. So deal with us. Thank you for your word, your work, your wonderful presence, your wonderful person, your awesome power, your magnificent provision, even in giving us mercy that is higher than the heavens. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And you may like to turn in your hymnal, if you would, 543. Let's stand together as we sing.